Good evening to each one. We also greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It is a blessing to be here, and it's good to travel down here and worship together. Appreciated the songs and the devotions. He talked about, I don't know if he caught it or not, I did. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works, that your heavenly Father may be glorified. We're going to talk about works this evening. Like our subject was introduced, worthy works. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about that verse, and I'm going to talk a lot about many other verses in the Bible about works. Worthy works. What comes to your mind when you think of works? What are we talking about? What am I going to talk about tonight? Well, we'll seek interest in your prayers as we go through this sermon, this topic. So we think about works. It's good actions, actions that are good. It's the things we do. So whatever we do in life produces a works. Well, I don't know, whatever God has called you tonight, or whatever your occupation is, or whether it's a mom or a dad or school teacher or whatever it is tonight, there is an aspect of works that comes from your life. So it's things we do. It's things we do. Are they good? Are they doing good things? You know, tonight God wants us to have worthy works. And that is the heartbeat of God, because tonight, you know, God has a standard for us tonight, for us to follow. And it's a pretty high standard. And out of that, God has called us to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And so that involves how I live my life. And it's going to affect church life. It's going to affect home life. It's going to affect life on the job. And it's just life that revolves around what I do. Is there's a works that's going to come forth. And we're going to get into, talk about some of that. So tonight it affects all areas of my life. All my works need to be God-honoring. They need to be God-honoring. All the things, all the works that I do must be done in a way to bring honor and glory to God, and not to bring honor and glory to myself. And it's so easy to fall into that trap of the things that I do it because, well, I wonder what so-and-so thinks of me, or this is what the church is asking, so long as I just do this. And I know that's important tonight, but we want to go beyond that tonight. And it's having God's smile and approval in our lives, and it's not about being noticed by my good works. Or sometimes it could be doing a lot of good works or deeds to cover up something. Or maybe it's to hide a life of something, or life of sin. Maybe there's something in our lives that we know ain't right, so we kind of go to the side, or we do all kinds of nice and good works so we can cover up of something that's maybe not right inside. But what God is looking for in our lives tonight is good, worthy works. And it's easy tonight to fall into what we would call a good works religion. And somehow we can, maybe it's the way we're brought up, or maybe what we know, we are so blessed tonight. We've been handed a heritage that, you know, it's just, I'm thankful for tonight. And I don't want to downplay that tonight. But we've been handed a lot to us. And somehow we can get into this mode of, being a Mennonite or a pilgrim or whatever you want to call it, and somehow I can kind of just live my life in those categories, and, you know, in this box or that box, whatever, however you want to explain it. You can fall into that trap of good works religion. And somehow we think God will justify me by my good, worthy works. All the good things that I do, because what I'm doing, it's good work, and God can bless me. And it's what God wants. But God, yes, he does want good, worthy works tonight. But it's more than just doing what I need to do. But what God wants tonight is good works. Bring out a heart of the hearts that are sincere and right and genuine. That is what God is looking for tonight. Because tonight we can get into that call of that trap of just living a life of good works. So I'm going to look at many scripture tonight. I thought of this for an outstart of scripture. Matthew 7 verse 21, Jesus was saying these words. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Then he goes on to say, he says, "Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus said there's going to be a time when there's people that are going to stand before him and going to have to get an account of their life. And there, he said there's going to be many that are going to say, "Lord, have we not done this and done that?" And the list he gives looks to me like pretty good works. Works that Christian people should be doing tonight. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute." And in verse 23 he says, "Then I will profess unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What is going on here? And this morning we do not want to, or tonight we do not want to stand before God and try to justify the good things that I've been doing. Because we're going to stand before the Almighty Judge, and he will judge us according to our works. But then Jesus goes on to say, "Those therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man whose built his house upon a rock." And this morning, that is the key for righteous living, to build our life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, "Depart, I never knew you." So how can I have worthy works tonight? Works that I can do that can be God-honoring, that I can have God's smell and approval in my life. And at the end of life, he can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in." Well, this morning or tonight, God knows our works. Tonight we serve an all-knowing God. Tonight God knows our works. He is all-knowing. He knows what I do, why I'm doing it, and what is the motive behind it. All knows that tonight. I had to think of the letters. You could go to Revelation 2 there when Jesus wrote the letters to the churches. The seven letters, I think, was to the seven churches. And you read each one of those letters, and there's one phrase that comes out in every one. It's one thing that Jesus repeats in saying is, "I know thy works." Okay. Tonight we serve an all-knowing God. He knows our motives. He knows our heartbeat. He knows all about it. "I know thy works." And then he would go on to say what he saw and what their works were, whether if they were worthy works or not.
I know thy works. The church at Ephesus, they were doing a lot of good things. But one thing they have lost their first love. Was it the church of Smyrna or one of those churches? It wasn't Smyrna, I think. I can't think of it. It says you're lukewarm. Yet it gave them a whole list of things they were doing. You lost your first love. You're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Their works were not worthy works. And Jesus was condemning that. These churches were doing a lot of good things, worthy works. But it's not good works when there's a link missing between me and God. And all it is a works religion, doing good works. Maybe to look good, to look that we are aggressive people. And we can dress right. We can appear right on the outside. And we can talk right. And it's so easy for us to fall into that trap of, we just know how, who we're around. We just, we talk good. And we're out here at church. And we look good. But really, what for works are really springing out of my life? What for works are springing out of my life? So how can I have worthy works? Works that I do as a church body that God can bless and bless others. Tonight, if Jesus Christ would send a letter here at the Swatara congregation here, what would it read? What would it read? Is he happy? What yous are doing here as a congregation? Or is he happy the way yous are living your life and the way I'm living my life? Well, our works cannot justify us. The good things we do cannot make up for the bad things we do. You know, we can do 100 or maybe 1,000 of good works, and they cannot and will not pay for a single sin you've committed. And so tonight, if you think you have a little bit of sin in your life, but going over to this side and say, well, if I just do all kinds of the good things and all kinds of good works, somehow that'll justify the bad. It will not. Good works will not save you tonight or take away your sin or free from your burden of sin. They cannot pay for a single sin you committed. We all have sinned tonight. But we can be freed from that burden of sin. But just doing good works will not save you. The only way is to have Jesus Christ come into your heart and wash you and take away your sins. I like to turn over to Ephesians 2 talks about I'll just break into the chapter. This is just a powerful chapter here. Verses I really appreciate. For I'll just break into verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast, for ye are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There it lays it out very clear and plain. It is not of works that we can save ourselves tonight. Not of works. Jesus, in his deep love, offered to pay that terrible penalty of sin and to free us. Like Jesus told the woman that committed adultery, go and sin no more. Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us righteous. He will justify us and cleanse us like we have never sinned. Our works will not cleanse us tonight. God has sent his Son. Here it talks about how he was rich in mercy. And we can go tonight justified like we have never sinned. And that is a blessing tonight, dear ones, tonight, that we can be cleansed. We can be cleansed. It's not looking right and going and having all kinds of works tonight. It's allowing Jesus to cleanse us. Ephesians, turn it over to Ephesians 5. Be followers of me. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children. What does followers mean? It means imitators. It's more than just following. We are to imitate our Lord tonight. We are to follow him in his footsteps, but also imitate him as dear children, as a child imitates their father. You know how it is dad's night when our children are, soon we realize that they're trying to walk in our footsteps, or they're pretending to be like dad. Christians tonight, that is how we are to imitate our heavenly father. Imitators of God, walk in love as Christ also have loved us, hath given himself for us for an offering, a sacrifice to God. And we talked about that in our Sunday school this morning, how one of the, was it the meat offering, how it burned and left off a sweet-smelling savor to God. And I like to bring that down to us tonight as born-again believers have been washed by the blood of Christ. It lets off an aroma that pleases God. And also lets an aroma off for each one of us to smell. And that is part of the beautiful plan of salvation tonight. As Christian believers, we can walk in him as imitators of our Lord Jesus. What a blessing. Walking in love with Christ. Living as Christ loved us. If we choose that tonight, we're talking about worthy works. And there'll be works coming from our lives. And they'll be worthy. And if this is missing tonight, all other works will fail or be in vain. That is the bedrock of works tonight. And if this work is failing, if we're missing that link with Jesus Christ, all other works and all other works will fail. Well, we know that Jesus set an example by doing good works himself. You can go to John 10. Jesus came to this world in his ministry. John 10, verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father, for which those works do ye stone me. We had the Jews here. They had Jesus in a corner. They were going to get ready to stone him. And Jesus said, wait a minute here. Listen, in my own words, why are you stoning me? I am here sent by my heavenly Father. I am to produce these good works. It's not me, it's my heavenly Father. And he said, you're here to stone me. And these good works you see, it's not of me because of what I do them, because of my heavenly Father. Why do you stone me? Jesus also told us to do good works as well. The verse that our brother read in our devotions, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. And you're going to glorify your Father in heaven. No, it's not about me tonight. It's not about what I do. It's not about how aggressive I am witnessing. So I get brownie points and I get the attention. So I get lifted up. And so I get noticed.
No, it's about glorifying your Heavenly Father tonight. It's not about my own work. It's not about my own work. Let your light shine before men. And I tell you what, tonight, that's a tremendous responsibility laid on our shoulders tonight as Christians. As the world gets darker, our lights need to shine brighter. That our neighbors, the people who we work with, would see our good works as shining lights. Remember, we are imitators of Jesus tonight. Reflectors of Him. And I believe tonight our neighbors who we meet should, it should speak to their hearts of who we are tonight. It's more than just a Mennonite people, but we are followers of our Lord Jesus, living a life for Him and shown by our good works, that our Heavenly Father may be glorified tonight. How much are you letting your light shine tonight? Oh, it's so easy to cozy up to the world. I don't like standing up and being different. That goes against our grain, our human nature. We like to fit into the crowd. Jesus is looking for worthy works that are willing to stand up for Him and stand on truth and identify as a follower of Jesus. John 15:8, by this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Tonight, is there fruit coming from your life? Good fruit. Good fruit, that means you're connected to your Heavenly Father. That means those are the outward workings of your life if you're producing fruit. Going over to Titus. Titus chapter 5, I believe. No, it's chapter 2, I think. There is no Titus 5, but Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Well, maybe I'll just back up to verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There we have it tonight. It is clear as crystal. As children of God, as followers of Him, our Lord Jesus gave Himself for us, that you and I can be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee this morning or tonight. That is a tremendous responsibility. And tonight, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 3, verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. Another verse telling us that we are to maintain good works. Maintain. Maintain means we're going to have to keep working at it. Maintain means it's not a one-done deal thing, we're good to go, and we're going to be producing good works from here on out. But it's something we have to work at daily. What is my life producing this morning, tonight? Is it good works? Or isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This book tonight is given by inspiration of God. What are you doing with it? It is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that you and I tonight may be perfect, fully furnished unto good works. What a blessing tonight. We have God's inspiring word tonight. All right, we looked at
having a works religion. That is our works. We can't just have works. But now, turn over to James chapter 2. James talks about faith without works. Is that possible? Can we have faith without works? Well, what does James say about that? James chapter 2. Somehow we have to find a balance in this working in these works. Somehow we have to live our lives balanced tonight. It's so easy to go to one side and just have a working, just have a living a life of works. Well, we can go to the other side of the ditch and say, well, do we need works? Is faith good enough? Is it faith good enough? We don't need, well, what does James? James says faith without works is dead. I'd like to read a few verses here. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of them say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believed and trembled. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith, and by works was faith made perfect? All scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James explains it very clearly, that faith without works is dead. So what is James trying to say? Faith. We need to have faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews 11 says. So tonight, we need to have faith. We make decisions. The Christian life is like a step of faith. We need to have our faith rooted in God tonight. But can I have a faith without works? And we can have works without faith, but can I have faith without works? One of the evidence of faith is the works that I produce, or the works that I do. One of the evidences of faith is the works that I do, that I produce, or the works that I do. If I'm connected to God and have a strong faith in Him, it will produce a works from my life. And I had to think it's like being connected to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit tonight, living a Spirit-filled life. And tonight we need to have the working Spirit in our lives to be Spirit-filled. And it's like, it's fruit of the Spirit. Those are evidences that I'm connected to the Spirit. There will be evidences of my life if I'm Spirit-filled. The fruit of the Spirit will spring forth from my life. And so James is saying you cannot have faith without works. They go hand in hand. Faith without works is dead. Faith is a works. Faith and works go hand in hand. And so, faith without works is dead. James gives the example of someone who is in need and knows what the needs are and how to meet the needs of the person, but does nothing about it.
and does nothing to help them or give them food. He said they're naked and they're out of food, and you know how to meet this person's needs, but you do nothing about it. And I had to think about that in my own life. I could stand up here and tell you the great things that I do tonight, and you don't know me. Yeah, you know who I am, but really you don't. You're not around me. You don't live beside me. You don't go to church with me. And I could tell you all the great things that I do, and you could call someone from my church and say, "Does Kevin Reif live up to this standard?" And they say, "No, he doesn't. He's just blown you full. He knows how to say it. He knows how to preach it, but he doesn't live it." Does that fall into this category of faith without works is dead? James said, you see someone in need out here, and you know how to go fix their problem. You know what they need. And they need this and they need that, but you don't do anything about it. Faith is, a working faith is someone that sees their need and says, "I will help them. They are hungry and I will feed them. They need clothing, I will give them clothes. I will meet their needs." It's what Jesus would have done. That's what Jesus taught. And tonight, faith, having a faith in God moves, there will be a works that will come from my life. You can't separate the two. Evidence of faith in your life, there will be works. Works that God will be glorified, and they will be worthy works. Now, James gives an example of Abraham, who was justified by works. Now, we know who Abraham was. He was a man of faith. I don't think we'd argue tonight who Abraham was. He was a patriarch of faith. He is in the faith chapter. A man of faith. When God told Abraham, "You go," he went. He obeyed. But James says when he was called to offer up his son, and we know that story very well, of someone who had faith and he obeyed God. When God called Abraham and said, "Now take your son and go to Mount Moriah and offer him there." And we don't see Abraham saying, "God, no, I'm not going to do that. You know that isn't right. You know you're not allowed to offer your own children. It's against the law. I will not." And yet we see Abraham the next morning, he gets his son Isaac, and they start off up early. 3-day journey. Step by step on that journey to Mount Moriah. I don't know, as a dad, could have done that. What was God trying to teach Abraham? Or what was, what? Why? And he went and obeyed God every step on the way until he had Isaac laying there on the altar. He had the knife out ready to slay him. And God said, "Wait, stop. Put your knife down. You passed the test." Talk about a man of faith, brothers and sisters, tonight. Faith without works. James says that Abraham was justified by his works. He obeyed God each step of the way, even though it did not make sense. Now, I don't see Abraham questioning God. He said, maybe he did. The Bible doesn't say that Abraham said, "God, the next day, do I have to? But he obeyed. He went. And James said he was justified. A man of faith was justified by his works. Yet good works cannot earn our salvation. But true faith in God and obedience to him and his word will result works, worthy works. Do you get it? Worthy works. You cannot have faith alone. Faith in God and obedience to his word, filled with his spirit, will produce, or there will be works coming from my life, from your life. And Jesus said, "By your fruits ye shall know them." And tonight, we meet a lot of people today that say they have a faith in God, and they believe God.
what is the outward works of their life? And you wonder, what do people say about me tonight? Jesus said, do men gather figs of thorns or grapes of thistles or figs of thistles or however that was? Today, people like to call themselves Christian and attach the Christian name to it or to themselves. And tonight, I know we're not supposed to judge people. God, let God do that. But God wants his people to live and to walk in full obedience to him and to his word tonight. That will produce a life of worthy works and not just works. Not just works. Well, tonight, it's so easy for us that have been, I mentioned earlier, have been raised in Mennonite homes, and we have been handed a lot to us. It's easy to look right, dress right, talk right. We can sit around and talk about the Bible. We know it. Or maybe we, depends who's around, we can kind of flip and talk, and, you know, we're pretty slick at that. But the challenge is to have worthy works coming from my life day in and day out. That's the challenge tonight. I will admit, to have a working faith tonight, worthy works that are just springing out of my life day in and day out. And the challenge is when I am at home in the daily grind of life, what kind of life am I producing tonight? What are the works that are coming forth from my life? What do my children see as a dad tonight when I'm pressured or down or depressed, or they're a disappointment, or a business downturn, or the favorite cow died? You know, those things happen tonight, and they put us to the test. What is my response as a believer, follower of Jesus tonight? What kind of works do they see when my day ain't going good? When there's anger there that just wants to, I want to fly off. How do I, the real me comes out, and how do I respond to the pressures of life? Well, tonight, some practical points yet. How can I produce worthy works for my life? Or live a life that produces worthy works? Be connected, stay connected to your Lord Jesus. Grow with your walk with him. We talked about being imitators of him, walking with him, patterning our life after him. We can't go wrong by doing that. Grow with your walks. Take time to read and meditate God's word this morning. You know, we have the manual right here tonight. It's so precious. We hold it up dearly, and we take it for granted. But tonight, this is for 2025, this book never goes out of date. It is the answers for our life. It's founded in his word. And if I want to produce righteous works tonight, I got to be connected and stay connected and take time to read the book, God's word tonight. It's not that hard to do. It just takes time. I'm talking to myself. We get busy. The first thing that happens is this goes on the shelf. Take time to read God's word. Take time to pray, and pray often this morning or tonight. Be prayer warriors tonight. Maybe that's a good New Year resolution. Just, you know, just have a goal there. We're going to spend more time in prayer for your neighbors, for your church brothers and sisters, for the one that's maybe struggling. You know, it's so easy to criticize someone and go to someone and talk about another brother, but just pray. Take time to pray, and pray often. Talked about God's word, obeying his commandments and living them out. The Bible is full of them. Live them out. Romans 7:12. Therefore the law is holy and the commandments holy, just and good. The commandments of God are so right. Matthew 10 verse 42, Jesus says, simply just give someone a cup of cool water. Will be rewarded. Shall in no wise lose his reward. That's worthy works tonight. Because I didn't look it up, but there's somewhere in Jesus, Jesus was talking about, there's going to be a group of people that Jesus said, you know, you've done this, you've done that. And you gave a cup of cool water. Maybe you gave someone a meal. And we're like, the person's like, I never knew I'd done that. These are worthy works tonight. When I have a list here of all the things that I do and like to think of well on those things, better stop and check our motives. Why am I doing what I'm doing? It's not to bring honor and glory to myself. It is not worthy works. It might be the best thing to do for someone. But if it's to push myself up and get attention or look what I'm doing or, you know, it's not worthy works. So it's simply as simple as just giving a cup of cool water. 1 Corinthians 13, we talk about the love chapter. And it's such a beautiful chapter. Love is, that's a subject in itself tonight. We could spend another hour talking about. But the Apostle Paul says this. If you go back up to chapter 12, talks about the many gifts in the church. And that's a blessing tonight. The older I get, I value the gifts in our brotherhood. We all have different gifts. And it's beautiful when we can bring our gifts together and blend them together and to build each other up. But Paul says in all that, there is one gift that we need to exercise, and that is the gift of charity, the gift of love. And he goes, chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can move mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me not. This love thing, Paul is saying, you can do the most worthy works. I would call worthy. If I could understand all mysteries and understand all prophecy, or if I give all my goods to feed the poor, oh my, these are some major works coming from my life. But he's saying, if I am missing this ingredient of love, those worthy works are nothing. He said, they will profit me nothing. So the key is this morning, or tonight, talks about coming, it's like a tinkling cymbal. The gift of love, the exercise this gift of love needs to be the number one thing in my life. Do I have a love for my brother? If I don't, all my other good things I do are nothing, Paul is saying. Is he actually coming out that strong? That the brother I struggle with that sits beside me, you know, I can do all these good brownie points, but if I struggle to love, said it's not going to profit me nothing. The gift of charity needs to be held up high. The gift of love. Talked about Matthew 5:16. We are to let our light shine that people may see our good works. Let our be shining lights. I talked about that. Being faithful in the little tasks that God has called you to do. Faithful in the daily grind of life. And we'll be rewarded for our works. Someday we'll stand before God, give account of my works. In closing, Matthew 16. Words of Jesus again. Matthew 16, verse 24. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father and with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Tonight, this is a serious subject, because tonight we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give account of the works. And our Lord knows all about our works. We talked about, he knows our motive. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. And tonight we're going to have to stand before our Heavenly Father and give an account of our works. And what we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in the joys of thy Lord. That's what we want to hear, each one of us, and be rewarded of our works. May the Lord bless you richly. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we